This sermon was recorded at Church of the Ascension, an Anglican parish in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, whose mission is to be a worshiping community that equips God's people and shares Christ's healing with a broken world. For more information, please visit ascensionpittsburgh.org.
King Jesus, speak to us this morning. Watch over us, guide us, strengthen us. And may your kingdom come in us and through us. In your name we pray. Amen. Is the world doomed to war forever? Or does God have some other kind of future in mind? I know the right answer to this question. I know the Sunday school answer. But in my heart, I wonder. I see headlines like earlier in this week, which said, "Hopes for peace fade." And then many of us woke up this morning to the news of heightened tensions and the possibility of outright war between Iran and Israel. Every week, it seems like the list of places we pray for gets longer. And we wonder, is it going to be like this forever? Today, the church invites us to read Micah chapter 4 and challenges us to wrestle with this question. Micah shows us the kingdom of God. And I want us to think about two questions about this kingdom, to answer two questions. First, what and how? What does God's kingdom look like, and how does God's kingdom spread? And what we will see as Micah shows us God's kingdom is that the risen Jesus is bigger than we think. So let's begin with what. What does God's kingdom look like? I invite you to open your bulletin and look with me at the reading from Micah 4. So we are in the Old Testament, the part of the Bible written before Jesus was born. And we're hearing from one of the prophets. Prophets were messengers from God who received words for God's people and the nations around them. Micah lived around the same time as Isaiah, who we read from more often. And this word actually has a close parallel in Isaiah 2. The kings that Micah mentions tell us that he was writing in a time of uncertainty and violence. The kingdom of Israel was divided between the north and the south. The northern kingdom had been conquered, and Samaria had been plundered. And just a few years later, we come to find out Jerusalem would follow. Micah speaks in a time of war, and he and his hearers could easily ask the same question we did. Is the world doomed to war forever, or does God have some other kind of future in mind? He begins, "In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised up above the hills." So Micah sees Jerusalem and the Temple Mount specifically becoming the tallest point around. He continues, "Peoples shall stream to it, and many nations shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths.'" At the time, all Israel was invited to come up to Jerusalem at least three times a year. And in the book of Psalms, we have these psalms of ascent, songs that the pilgrims would sing on their way up to Jerusalem in the temple. And Micah takes this pattern and says, guess what? Nations far beyond Israel are going to participate in this movement. Non-Jewish people will take up the Psalms of Ascent and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord." This is a picture of peace between God and the nations of the world. And this is a big surprise. The Old Testament shows God as the king of the earth and the nations and their leaders most of the time as rebels against him. The introduction to the book of Psalms asks this question: why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." This is a picture of the world as it was: rebellious rulers flailing around, raging against God's rule. But Micah shows us something different. Instead of running in their own ways, the nations will willingly come to God. That is what God's kingdom looks like: peace between God and the nations. And when that happens, how will that affect the lives of the world? How will that affect ordinary people trying to live in peace? I love what comes next in verse 3. "He shall judge between many peoples and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more, but they shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken." The beauty of this vision is stunning. In God's kingdom, there is true peace between the nations of the world. We talk a lot about world peace, but it's something that we've never experienced. How can we even imagine what this would be like? Micah takes hold of this simple image of weapons and farm tools. "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks." I had to remind myself this week what a plowshare is. It's the sharpest part of a plow, which makes a cut through hard soil. It's the sharp edge of metal that makes a space for seeds to come in and for crops to grow. Pictures of old plowshares look a lot like a spearhead. And pruning hooks, well, you don't have to look that up on Google. I'll spare you the embarrassing Google search. It's a hook that's used for pruning. So picture a pole or a piece of metal with a metal hook on the end that you use for trimming vines or trees to help them produce more fruit. And in an agricultural society, these are your first weapons of defense when war comes to you. It's the sharpest piece of metal that you can grab and defend yourself with. And since Cain picked up a rock and struck his brother, we've been taking up good things from God's creation and transforming them into more and more sophisticated weapons. Plowshares to swords is what we know. Plowshares to swords is the normal way of things in this world. But Micah shows us what God's kingdom looks like. To borrow from Mother Jess's sermon last week, Micah shows us water running uphill. God will settle the disputes of the nations once for all. There will be no need or desire to go to war. We won't be bracing for the next conflict. And so the world's weapons arsenals will be obsolete. We won't need all these guns and drones and suits of armor anymore. So we'll try to find new uses for them. Instead of taking life or defending our lives, we can cultivate new life. We'll turn our weapons to farm tools and get back to humanity's original calling. Micah sums it up with this beautiful phrase: "No one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken." So, what does God's kingdom look like according to Micah? Peace between God and the nations, and peace between all the nations of the world. And maybe that's all you need to hear this morning. The world is not always going to be like this. And there's more that the Lord has for us today. Micah speaks to us in the season of Easter, where we celebrate that Jesus is alive. So the church is inviting us to ask, how does this vision of peace on earth connect with the risen Jesus? And I want us to now consider our second question. How does God's kingdom spread? And we'll find that the risen Jesus has a lot to say about how he spreads his kingdom. You remember what Micah says at the end of verse 2? He says, "For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." It's a little bit surprising. God's kingdom spreads through his word, through his instruction. The Hebrew here is Torah, this rich word that wraps together everything God shares with his people about who they are and how they should live. The world will be disarmed through the word of the Lord. On the other side of Jesus' birth, we get to see that the Torah of the Lord is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom John's gospel calls the Word made flesh. The kingdom that Micah foresees is brought about by Jesus. And we may be tempted to hear this and say, great, I can't wait for Jesus to do that. But let's look again at what Jesus says to his disciples as we can think about how Jesus spreads his kingdom. His first words to the disciples are, "Peace be with you." And let's jump in at verse 44. Jesus says, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the book of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Jesus leads the best Bible study ever. He shows them that the whole Old Testament, the law of Moses, the prophets, the writings, including the Psalms, all of it was and would be fulfilled through him. And he continues, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." That sounds a little bit familiar, doesn't it? Here we see God's message, God's word, going out from Jerusalem and reaching all the nations of the world. This is just like what Micah foretold. Here we also see that the way King Jesus conquers is not by killing and taking life, but by giving up his life on the cross. Again, we and the disciples might be tempted to hear this and say, great, I can't wait for Jesus to do that. But the disciples are not just observers waiting for the days to come. He says, "You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Here, Jesus is looking ahead to the day of Pentecost that we'll celebrate in May, where he pours out his Spirit on his church. And the book of Acts continues this story of the Spirit-empowered church proclaiming Jesus, beginning from Jerusalem and spreading out to the ends of the earth. So what does God's kingdom look like? Peace between God and the nations, and peace between all the nations of the world, to the point where we beat our swords into plowshares. And how does God's kingdom spread? Through Jesus, the Word made flesh, who commissions his disciples, empowered by his Holy Spirit, to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations. Brothers and sisters, we are part of this fulfillment. The message of Jesus, the proclamation of this peaceful kingdom of God, has come to us, and it spreads through us. I had the privilege a few weeks ago of meeting with Bishop Alec and Samuel Cody. Samuel is the leader of the Sudanese congregation that meets here on Saturday afternoons at 4 p.m. That's a shameless plug. I hope you will come and get to know this precious group of people, pray in English and Arabic, and enjoy some music. You can talk to me or Father Bob Richards or Mother Karen Woods about visiting. And in this meeting with Bishop Alec and with Samuel, I saw a whiteboard behind the bishop's desk. And along the sides, there were a lot of intimidating to-dos written. But in the middle, there was a big space with this simple phrase written in it: Jesus is bigger than you think. This phrase has kept coming to mind this week as I've looked at Micah's vision. Jesus is bigger than you think. And I think the Lord wants you to hear that today as well. His work encompasses the whole creation and every nation of the world. It's too easy to think that the gospel is basically about me and Jesus having a special relationship. He forgives my sins and promises to take me to heaven when I die. I still believe that with my whole heart. And some days that's the only thing that sustains me. But the gospel is so much bigger than that. The gospel includes the kingdom of God. Jesus is doing something so big and so good, and we have the privilege of being part of it. Put another way, he's not a minor character in my story. I get to be a minor character in his story. Jesus is good news for all of the creation and all the nations of the world. Jesus is bigger than we think. Brothers and sisters, we are witnesses of these things. We are the heirs of the apostles, commissioned by Jesus and empowered by his Holy Spirit. We are witnesses of a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of swords turned into plowshares in the middle of a world still at war. May we not lose heart. Jesus is bigger than we think. Amen.